It had been almost 2 decades since she had been able to stand up straight. Almost 20 years since she had been able to look someone in the face or to see the sunrise or to feel its warmth upon her face. Almost 20 years. You know, that's a long time to be bent over. But the truth is, she had been suffering from this disease since the day she was born. No, it wasn't obvious at first. But as she began to grow, people looked at her, and they realized that there was something wrong. And by the time she reached her young adolescence, her body was becoming so disformed that there was no doubt in anyone's mind. There was something horribly wrong. Now, living in a culture where disease and disabilities were looked upon as a curse from God, one can only imagine what the woman's life was like. The things that she had to endure. Her family, no doubt, was ashamed of her. Children made fun of her. People within the community tried to avoid her, and the religious officials, they condemned her. Now, after spending the majority of her life being ignored or analyzed or condemned, could it be that she saw her current state as the only blessing that she had? I mean, granted, the whole world had been reduced to the dirt at her feet. But at least now she didn't have to see the expressions on people's faces. She could hear the disgust in their voice, but she didn't have to watch them as they tried to avoid her when she walked down the street. She may have been bent over, but at least it was a world that left her alone. A world where she could imagine anything and avoid everything. You know, all things considered, being bent over wasn't the worst thing that ever happened to her. It's what the others did to her. The things they said. The things they did. Those were the things that hurt. Those were the things that destroyed her spirit. Do you know how hard it would be to spend almost your entire life being shunned and being alone? It was like she was drowning in a sea of loneliness and no one cared enough to even notice. That's what made the Sabbath so difficult. While other women in the community looked forward to that one day in the week when they didn't have to do any work and they could join their friends and catch up on the news, this woman did not see the synagogue as a friendly place to be, a place where she could go to get the comfort and support that she needed. It was there that she seemed to receive her harshest treatment. It was there that the religious leaders turned her into an object lesson of what happens when one's own sins or even the sins of one's family are so great that even God doesn't care about you anymore. Being shunned by humans is one thing, but being told over and over again that God doesn't care about you? What do you do? Where do you go? If even God has deserted you, what meaning does your life have? Why even get up in the morning? What's the use? Yes, what happened to that bent over woman was tragic. She not only endured the pain of her illness, she was also forced to suffer at the very hands of those who should have understood, those who should have been willing to accept her and to love her. But they were the ones who became angry at Jesus the moment that he called out her name and invited her to come stand before him. They said that it was because he cured on the Sabbath, but read the Bible. It didn't matter what day Jesus cured anybody. The religious leaders always found something wrong. They were the wrong people. It was the wrong time. So why did the religious leaders act so violently? Why did they become so angry when Jesus acted out of love and compassion? Why didn't they rejoice that God had just scored a great victory against evil? Why weren't they overcome with the same joy that the person who only moments before was beaten down stood before God and rejoiced? Why couldn't they do it? Why couldn't they see the blessings that had surrounded them at that moment? I'll tell you why. Because they were the ones who interpreted the laws. That's why. They were the ones who had the most to gain by maintaining the strict control over the synagogue, by interpreting the laws in their favor, by adding more demands than God ever intended to be added to one human being. They had everything to gain by keeping people under their control and everything to lose if too many people began to feel empowered by the power of God. Now, Christians, think about it. Was the woman the only person who needed to be healed that day? Was she the only one who Jesus would have reached out and touched? What about all the scribes and the Pharisees and the religiously correct folk who were more preoccupied with the laws than with building the kingdom? Didn't they need to be healed? Didn't they need to be made whole? And what about us? You know, I am convinced that Christ is calling each and every one of us to stand before him and to feel his healing touch. He is offering to free us from whatever it is that is holding us back. Maybe we are the ones who are suffering from the physical or the spiritual disability. Or could it be that our desire to maintain control is what's holding us back? There are so many things that stop us just short of allowing Christ to reach out and touch us. Things like fear and pride, anger, age, addictions, gender, race, disappointment, grief, and tragedies. They all so overwhelm us that we fail to respond when Christ stands in our midst and reaches out his hand. But friends, it doesn't have to be this way. We can leave the sanctuary today with a renewed sense of commitment and freedom. The woman's life was changed forever because she responded to a call, to someone who simply said, "Come." She stood before the Lord and allowed his gaze to fall upon her. And she was never the same again. And it is my prayer that each one of us will have the courage, the faith, to do the same. And in that moment when we respond to the call, we, like the bent over woman, will find our lives filled with his glory and our mouths with his praise. It is then that we will stand with the psalmist and proclaim to the world, "In you, O Lord, I take my refuge. In your righteousness, you will rescue me, for you are our rock and our fortress. You, O Lord, are our hope and our trust. Our praise is continually of you. O Lord, my rock and my foundation." Listen to his voice. Allow him to touch your heart, and miracles will occur. To God be the glory. Amen.